Francis Leach here on this Saturday morning. Good morning to you. Hope you're well. Each Saturday we catch up with Sean Callan and the Sports Geek to talk about sport and the digital space. And he's here again this week. G'day, Sean. How are you?
Hey, g'day, Frank. I'm very good.
Now, I've been missing something. Everyone's been watching the Tour de France. Everyone's been trying to get Cadel up the mountains and down the other side. But the real battle is not out there on the road. It's, in fact, in the Twitter sphere between the wags.
Yes.
What am I missing?
Yeah, hashtag wag war. a few of the wags have been chipping in with a bit of the commentary that the fans are having, and even a few of the boys, the riders, have had a bit to say. And, it's provided a little bit of back-channel entertainment for those following the Tour de France.
Are they hashtagging themselves Wag War?
No, but the fans have. And if I actually did tweet it, like, it got covered in the New York Times where they were bringing in all the tweets of all the riders.
What have been the subjects that have been carried during the Wag War? Is it just about my man's better than your man on TV?
Oh, there's a little bit of that. There's a bit of the, you know, he's not following the team rules and a bit of that happening. And then they got into a little bit of accusations of whether it was a clean race and I know more than you and that kind of stuff. So
all being played out in public on Twitter.
All being played out in public. It is a dangerous space for the Wags to be on Twitter.
Brilliant for everyone else, though.
It's a bit like the old rubbernecking, seeing a car crash and people, you know, watching it go by. So,
now, are there particular people we should search for and try and follow to pick up some great Wag War action?
I think if you just follow the TDF, there's enough fans retweeting. But, a lot of the wives of the current leaders are chipping in on Twitter. So, it provides a little bit more entertainment if you're just watching all the beautiful scenery going through France. Seeing some very fired up ladies watching the cycling.
Looking forward to getting into a bit of that and reading a few timelines to see what's been said. Now, at the moment, we've been talking about the last sort of 6 months or so, whole range of issues when it comes to digital space and sport. One of the issues we've talked about a lot is the fact that when we go here in Australia to sporting venues, for instance, you can't actually engage with the game the way you might like to if you're on your couch at home because you've got Wi-Fi and you can use all the apps and devices and whatnot to be socially interactive in the sport. The MCG or the SCG, that just isn't possible. Critical mass means that you can't. Are we getting any better at it?
We are slightly getting better at it. But one of the things is as successful as you might be become in getting the infrastructure in place, the fans will then chew up their bandwidth and actually it'll crash. So
can't help ourselves, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So the more success that the technologists have in getting the infrastructure right, the more that the fans want to use it. So the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is a good example at Kansas City. They really did made a big effort from a social media point of view to really engage the fans in the stadium, promoting hashtags. For a Twitter point of view, they had the player handles being referred to on the coverage and everything.
It was great.
And the thing was, what they found, you know, they got great lift from people around and watching the game, but they really pushed the limits in the stadium. So, you know, great success. The fans loved it, but there was some frustration that, people couldn't get their tweet out the door.
Now, one person that knows a lot about this is joining us now, Chris Still, who's the CIO at the Portland Trail Blazers.
Well, he's formerly at the Portland Trail Blazers. Now he's business development at SEAT Conference, which will be in Boston in August.
Now, what's SEAT Conference?
SEAT is Sports Entertainment Alliance in Technology. So very much in the same wheelhouse, as they might say, as Sports Geek, but talking to all the IT guys that are trying to solve this problem in venues and for teams. So very much knows all the guys who are going to fix this problem for us.
G'day, Chris. Welcome to Grandstand Breakfast. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I've been listening for the last half hour. I'm totally sold. I get to hear Flying the Family Stone. You're talking about the Tour de France. I wish I was over there now. I'm a big bike rider. And I was talking to my business partner. I said, you know, for our conference next summer, it's going to have to be buttoned up by now because I'm going to be in France next year for the tour.
Probably if you're in France and in regional France and you want to engage digitally with the sport, I wonder how you go. What would be the bandwidth capacity like in Europe to be able to do that, you know, on a moving feast like the tour?
Well, you know what? No matter where you go these days, you expect to be connected because look at the proliferation of the iPads and the phones and the smartphones. Where can we go without them? you know, the Achilles heel on those kind of devices is the battery, and how is that? But as long as you got juice, wherever you're sitting, you want bandwidth. So it isn't just about going to sporting events. You could talk about stadiums. You could talk about hospitals. You could talk about the Nike campus, or you could talk about college campuses. So we're going to talk in particular about sports spaces, but when it comes to Wi-Fi and DAS, it's almost no matter where you're sitting, because if you went to one of the local coffee shops there and you didn't get good connectivity, you would probably go over to the next shop. So we sort of expect this kind of connectivity, whether we're at the Tour de France or we're in watching an All-Star game, or maybe we're at the Opera House in Sydney. I mean, we're all always on. We're all always connected. So we're sort of creating this infrastructure problem that as we move from sending emails and tweeting and texting to watching video highlights from sporting events, which we all love to see. I mean, I love to watch the tour highlights. It's fantastic. But, you know, as we go and do this on our devices, it becomes a real challenge to the infrastructure out there.
Chris, one thing we are seeing, we're seeing the prevalence of in-stadium apps. In some of the stadiums in America, you can order your beer and chips, or your concessions, as they say in the States, straight from an iPad app or from your phone. Unfortunately, we did see some poor bloke updating his Facebook status at the baseball and got clocked by a foul ball. So sometimes it is important to pay attention to the game and not always to be looking at your smartphone. But what are things that the stadiums are now doing to try to solve the problem, and what kind of stadiums are doing a really good job at that?
Well, I think that the challenge is that one day you put in the technology and then there's new technology and then you're sort of out of date. So the Cowboys Stadium, billion-dollar stadium, here it is a couple of years later, and the system that they have in there isn't adequate now. So you come up with technology always at what is sort of the refresh rate and how long is your laptop good for, how long is your cell phone good for. It's the same thing about the infrastructure that you're connecting to and how much bandwidth is offered. The people that are doing a good job are probably the ones that have the newest buildings because they have the latest technology in there. But, you know, when we go up to the SEAT conference in Boston this summer, Fenway Park is celebrating its 100th anniversary. So here's a case where here's an old park, and there's probably been discussions over the years of, hey, let's replace this park, and they haven't.
No, no, Chris.
Their infrastructure.
I will cry. I would cry myself to sleep for weeks if they touched a lick of paint on that place.
Yeah, 100 years old, so we're excited. We're going to have an event up there, but they have new DAS and Wi-Fi in there, but every year they have to improve that. If you look at the San Francisco Giants, now when it comes to baseball, there seems to be more usage of iPads and, you know, there's a lot of breaks in the action versus if you look at soccer, you know, there aren't so many breaks, so you have a little less usage. So it really depends on the game and how many breaks there are. People in the American football world, there's quite a few breaks, and people want to sort of see the red zone and what's going on. And we're seeing in football, in all the leagues, so many people are involved in fantasy games that these in-venue buildings need to deliver up all these kind of stats and replays. So if you talk about wanting to see replays, now you're really talking about bandwidth usage. And so this becomes a bigger problem.
So the
what
other
has happened
the other
the
problem
past number of years is that something like the Super Bowl, when you have these incredible halftime acts or just people being at the Super Bowl, there's actually people taking pictures and doing videos and sending them out of the arena. So there's actually more data going out of the arena than in, and typically networks are built to the inverse of that, where you expect to download more data than outload data. So this is a challenge for the people running these types of events.
The other challenge, Chris, is you put in all this infrastructure. Who pays for it? Does it become something that has to get passed on to the fans? Is it something that sponsors and advertisers can bring, or is it just something that the teams just have to wear because it's starting to become a service expectation?
I think there's an expectation, but I think there's a real challenge. And we have a great panel at SEAT this year, the DAS panel, and we have a representative from AT&T and some of the other DAS vendors. And I recently met with Chad Towns, who's really at the top of the pyramid in the U.S. for AT&T over DAS and Wi-Fi. And his challenge is that the stadiums want him to keep his AT&T equipment up to date and provide full connectivity. They want him to do it on his dime. They also want him to potentially buy a sponsorship, and they also want to rent him space in the arena to put his equipment. So he's going, wow, this is a tough proposition, especially since I'm going to have to replace the equipment every couple of years, and you're talking about a couple million dollars. Now, I talked to him about the Superdome now down in New Orleans, and they said that they sank probably $60 million into that facility because they were going to have the Super Bowl, they had the NCAA Finals, and some other big events, and they had great coverage for that. But look at what costs. So it's incredibly expensive to provide that bandwidth.
And in terms of the cost of fans accessing it, will become a user pay service. I mean, will you get to a stage, Chris Dill, where fans who want to access really fast connectivity within stadiums will pay a price to do so at point of sale? So you sit down in your seat and it goes, do you want bandwidth? Yes, I do. Pay $5.
The technology isn't there, and I don't know if we'll get there, because remember in the good old days here in the U.S., Starbucks had to pay for Wi-Fi model, and now it's all free. And so we've almost come to expect, just like we're breathing the air and just like you can get free TV in places and you get free radio, I think the Wi-Fi and the bandwidth and the DAS become a part of life that we expect. And people will try to figure out money on how to actually put ads, interject ads in there and do some controls in those ways to make some money back. But I don't see where the pay model. Now, certainly at home, you know, I use my cell phone as my home phone. I have a nice high-speed internet connection because I like to watch my Netflix. So here I am, instead of watching TV that would come in on a coaxial system, I'm watching on-demand TV, the highlights on my laptop or Netflix on my TV. So this, even at the homes, there's a challenge to get enough bandwidth, because who wants to be watching a nice high-definition movie and all of a sudden, you know, it says buffering? This is very annoying to us, and we just expect to have this unlimited bandwidth. So it's a really a challenge for the technology companies, and it will be a continuing challenge. And I think probably the hottest topics at the conference this year, but I foresee it being the hottest topic for the next so many years and maybe every year into the future, because it will always be a challenge.
Good on you, Chris. Great to get your insights. Thanks for talking to us, and good luck with the SEEK conference in beautiful Boston this year.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. I have been down to Sydney in the past, and I love your country and, you know, just a great country, and I hope to get back someday, and thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Dill there, who's running the SEEK conference. Remind us what that is.
So, yeah, sports, tech, and digital and CRM guys are all going to get into one space and try to solve some of these problems in Boston in August 5 to 8.
Geeks with mouthguards.
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
Right in the home of the Red Sox too.
So, yeah, it should be good. A lot of good speakers from all around the different leagues, and we'll look to solve some problems.
And you'll be there too. Just remind people where they can find you, Sean Carney.
They can find me at sportsgeekhq.com or at sportsgeekhq or at Sean Callanan on Twitter.
And we'll find you here next week on a Saturday morning with us again. Thanks for coming in, mate.
No worries, mate.